Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for the air conditioning that we can enjoy. But Lord, above all, we thank you that we have a God that we can come and worship. Thank you that we have your word and that we can learn from it. And I pray that you'll exalt yourself this evening, and Lord, that we would see you in ways that we may have forgotten or never seen before, and exalt you, we do pray, and be blessed for seeing these things. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, prophetic themes is what we've been looking at on Sunday evenings for a little while. We've looked at Jesus, his birth, ministry, and death. We've looked at major kingdoms that are to come, that was prophesied in the book of Daniel. We've looked at various kings that have been prophesied, such as Josiah, Cyrus, Alexander, and also Jesus. We looked at judgments on the world, on nations, and individuals. And there are many other themes in the Word of God as well in regards to prophecy. We're not going to look at any more. That's all in regards to themes that we're going to look at. But I want to consider two things, and we're going to look at one of them tonight and then the other one next week. If you can remember back, and I started the series, I mentioned that there are two main reasons why God gave us prophecy. One of them is so that when we hear it, it affects our conduct. So we live a particular way knowing what's coming. And then the other reason is so we can learn some things about God. He reveals himself through prophecy. And there are many things we can learn about the Lord. And tonight we're going to look at what we can learn about God through prophecy. And there are a number of things. And so we'll just go through them one at a time. The first one is that prophecy reveals that God is sovereign. God can tell us what's going to happen in the future, not just because he knows the future, but because he can make the future come to pass. He makes things happen. And it's a reminder that God's plans for the future will definitely come to pass. No being, no human being, no circumstances can stop it from happening. Because he's sovereign and he can make it happen. You know, unlike us, you know, we can have plans, but that doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. I could say to you something as simple as, tomorrow I am definitely going to go to Kmart and buy some sunglasses. But even that is, a lot of the things are out of my control to get there. You know, I've got a Ford and a couple of Holdens, so they're both fairly dangerous, and so they may not even start tomorrow, okay? So that's out of my control. Someone might hit me while I'm driving to Kmart. Kmart might have had a fire and it's closed down, and they may not even have sunglasses in stock. So just as something as simple as I'm going to go and do this tomorrow doesn't mean it's going to happen. That's why God said, if the Lord will, I will go here and do that and do this. Because he's the one that holds the future. Yet he can say, this is going to happen, and it definitely will. Not just because he knows the future, but he can make it happen. He is sovereign. And in Scripture we see how being able to foretell the future is one good reason why we should rely on the Lord to protect us and provide for us. Let me explain what I mean. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. In Isaiah chapter 41, God exhorts his people to trust him and rely on him to protect them rather than other nations or other gods. And the proof that he gives that he is able to do this, while other gods, false gods, can't, is the fact that he can foretell the future, while idols can't. Have a look at Isaiah 41, verse 21. Here the Lord is talking to idols, the false gods. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. And so God wanted the idols to prove that they could be trusted. And how? He goes on to show us by prophecy. Verse 22, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. And so he says, let these idols tell us the future. Verse 23, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. And so God is saying, you tell us the future so we can see it come to pass and see if you are truly God. What's God's conclusion about these idols? In verse 24 we read, behold, ye are nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. God's saying, it's an abomination when you trust in idols, because they can't tell you the future. They can't bring it to pass. And he goes on to say, I will do this and I will do that, and I'll show you that I can be trusted because I am the true God. And that's what we see through prophecy. God has told us time after time after time what will be, and it comes to pass. We can look back and say, he is truly the true God. We can trust him for our protection and comforts and so on. And so God uses prophecy to reveal his sovereignty. That's not the only thing he uses. Not the only thing he declares. We also see that through prophecy, we discover that he is eternal. You know, God's told us that he's eternal. We read in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's just a roundabout way of saying that he's eternal. From and of everlasting, that's backwards, to everlasting, thou art God. He is eternal. And we know that as the eternal God, he is able to know the beginning and the end. He sees all of time at once. Yet, so we can understand him, he's able to put himself into time. Yet he tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega, as like for us saying the A and the Z, the beginning and the ending. Yet he was there from the beginning of time, and he'll be there at the end of time. And when time ends, God is still there. He is eternal. And knowing that God is eternal helps us in everyday life. You see, if you turn over to Deuteronomy 33, over there, what the Lord does is he reveals something about himself in order to reinforce what he's about to say. And what he does in doing this is he gives his credentials so that we can believe and listen to what he tells us. Now, doctors do that all the time. You walk into a doctor's surgery and they have all their credentials. And I've never talked to a doctor to ask why they do that, but I suspect it's so that we will trust what they say. I have studied, I have learned, these are my credentials. And so when Dr. Bob says, you know, that little freckle on you, nothing to worry about, well, we believe him. And we don't have to worry. Yet, if Dr. Bob says, that freckle is really scary, you need to have that removed, well, you're going to do something about it. This guy, look at all these credentials. I need to listen to what he has to say and do something about it. And God gives us one of his credentials. It says there in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God. That's God's credentials. He says, I am the eternal God. And what does he go on to say? The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. God says, and because I am the eternal God, You can trust me to be your refuge. So when things happen, I want you to run to me. Not to the world, not to idols. Run to me because I am eternal. I see the beginning and the end all at once. And we discover that in prophecy. God sees it all. That's why he's able to tell us all and say it with such detail, and it comes to pass precisely. And that should bring comfort to each one of us. Because even though we don't know the unknowns in life, we do know that God knows them already. And being a loving God, he prepares us for those unknowns. I think that we should keep that in mind when something comes and, whoa, didn't see that coming. God saw it coming and he's been preparing us for it. So if you go to work tomorrow and you find out you've just been put off, you're going to think, whoa, I did not see that coming. God saw it coming. Rather than panic, you run to the eternal God for refuge at that time. Rather than acting in the flesh and acting in some other way. When some pain turns into a serious sickness, didn't see that coming. But God did. He's the eternal God. You run to him for refuge. When you discover that your friend's been bad-mouthing you, hurts, yet you run to the eternal God who will be your refuge. You go home tonight and you find your house has been robbed. Didn't see that coming. But God knew it. He's been preparing us for it. And so we don't know the future, but prophecy shows us that God does. It shows he is eternal. And as an eternal being, we can run to him for refuge. Also, prophecy reveals God's omniscience. Now, these are very similar, eternal and omniscient. There are similarities, although being eternal doesn't mean you know everything. You know, you can see the beginning to the end, but you might miss something. But being all-knowing means you don't miss anything. And God tells us very clearly in his word that he is both eternal and all-knowing. In Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite." Now, that's amazing. His understanding is infinite. You don't run out of understanding. That's good to know, because there is no one else in this world that is infinite in their understanding. I know when, I'll pick on Josh. When Josh was 3, 4, he couldn't work out those little puzzles, those little animal puzzles. So he comes to his father and says, where does this elephant go? And being a master at 3 to 4 year old puzzles, I can show him that, see that little shape there? That goes in that little shape there. And my knowledge blows his brain. Wow! He could have even thought it was infinite at that stage. But I have come to the reality that now that he has math questions, he doesn't even bother to come and ask me. Right? He has come to that understanding that his father's knowledge is not infinite. So he goes to someone else. But the wonderful news is we don't get that with our Heavenly Father. We never come to him with a problem or needing a solution. He says, well, that is beyond my understanding. That's gone a little bit too far for me. He is infinite in his knowledge. And God being all-knowing means a number of things. You know, it means that God doesn't need to learn anything. Have you stopped to think about that? We have to learn just about everything. How to tie your shoes, to all the other awful things. You even need to be taught how to put food in your mouth, you know, in a decent manner, I guess. And then when you go to school to learn, university to learn, it's like a continual learning. It'd be nice if there was, you're pre-programmed with all the knowledge built in there. Wouldn't that be nice? But we have to learn, but because God's understanding is infinite, he never has to learn. He knows it all. Yet how often do we wonder if God really knows what he's doing? God, can I give you a few tips on how to run the universe? I just don't think it's right that these people suffer. I don't think it's good how you've allowed this. We want to give him some tips on how to run the universe, even though he's the all-knowing one. Or we want to give him some tips on how to run our life. Lord, I don't think you really know what you're doing with my life here. How would it feel to be all-knowing and have some little blip on the radar who doesn't know very much try to tell you how to do things? That must be show his patience with us, that we want to tell the all-knowing God how to do some things. God doesn't have to learn anything. Because he's all-knowing, he doesn't need a few goes to get it right. You know, I had a very inquisitive young man in Sunday school many years ago. And he came to me and he said, Uncle Alan, so if you know, that might give it away. Uncle Alan, do you think God, as time has gone by dealing with man, has got better at knowing how to deal with us? Now, that's all right for a young man to try and think through these things. I said, no. He's all-knowing. He doesn't need to have goes at it before he knows the best way. You know, for each one of us parents, you get a new one. First one, you don't know anything. And then by the second one, you think you know a little bit, and then you realize that doesn't work with this one. And it's a continual learning process. But to get good at something, you have to keep learning. But the good news is, God, knowing everything, he didn't say, well, I'm going to test out some theories with Adam and Eve. And by the time a few centuries have gone by, I think I might be able to get this right with mankind. No, he gets it right first time. He gets it first time with you. God doesn't do that with us. He knows exactly what's best for each one of us. That's why it's wise to go to his word and find out what he says. You know, God doesn't have to work things out. When you go to him and say, God, what do you think I should be doing here? He doesn't have to think, well, I've never heard that one before, or give me time to work it out. That's why he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He doesn't need more information before he can make a decision. He doesn't have to practice. He gets things perfectly right the first time. That means if his word differs than what we think, we need to accept that he's the all-knowing one. He's the one that's got it right, not us. Children may think that when we give them information, we got it wrong. And they think they know best. Sad thing is, sometimes they are correct and we didn't get it best and they know better than us. Not too often, but it does happen. It never happens with God. And so when he tells us, you know, you need to tell the truth all the time, that's the right way to go. You need to forgive. You need to confess your sin. You need to obey your parents. You need to submit to authority. We can trust that the Lord knows that this is the best way to do things. How have you shown that in your life this week, I wonder? Has God looked at you and said, there is a child who believes that I know everything and I get it right and I never make a mistake? Because they will obey me thoroughly. I trust you would do that. We need that, don't we? We enjoy it when we have children who trust us, and so does our Heavenly Father. But then also, prophecy reveals God's goodness to us. And I think this is really important. I don't think I have to convince you that everything is lovely as a Christian. We looked at that this morning as well. We suffer various ways. There are problems that never get resolved. Life can be terrible as a Christian, and we live in a good country. Imagine if you live in some of the other countries as a Christian. That's scary. Then you go back and you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see what they did to people back then, and you discover that we actually live in a good time to be a Christian, yet still we suffer various things. And if you don't have prophecy, you could be persuaded to believe that God isn't that good at times. Unfortunately, we have prophecy and we still think that at times. Yet when you look at prophecy and understand that God not just knows the past, the present, but the future, and He has revealed to us the future, we discover that the end of the story is really good. It's good when you get a book and you go through all the troubles. Well, I don't read books, but you flip over to the end and you see it's going to have a good ending. That means no matter what happens to these people, it ends up good. And we have a book and we can flip to the end and we can discover, hey, it ends up good. It's a good ending. Oh, we have a good God. And I know sometimes it's going to be really hard to say something terrible happens or is happening and say, oh, I have a good God. Now, that's not pleasant what you're going through, but boy, you can go to the end and know the last chapter is a good ending. Let's have a look at some of the good endings that we have to look forward to, which is prophecy. Have a look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Just in case you don't know, this has not happened yet. So it's prophecy. It says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's a very good ending. God says He's going to come and get us. If we have passed first, we're coming with Him, but if we're alive at that time, He's coming to get us. That's a good God. But then if you turn over to Revelation chapter 21, we read this in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. It says there in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." This is prophecy. "And there shall be no more death." That's a good ending. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Wow, that's a good ending, isn't it? You got pain, you got sorrow, crying. Well, I know that's bad, but we have a good God who has promised us a good ending. That's a blessing. Now, let me read 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What that is saying is, the things that we go through are like a light affliction, not that bad compared to the rewards we're going to receive in heaven. And so, He's going to come and take us so we can be with Him forever. He's going to make sure that we no longer have to suffer, and He's going to reward us for faithful service. And you know, literally the list could go on of various things that He has promised. These are verses about the future. If we have to live our life not knowing what happens in the future, well then you could be excused for thinking, is God really a good God? Does He love me? Because you have just the circumstances. Because we have these prophecies and the other ones that we have seen, we can be sure we have a good God. He's a loving God. If you're going through troubles at the moment, can I encourage you to focus on the end of the story that God's promised and realize that because He's sovereign, And because he's eternal and all-knowing, you can be sure that these things will come to pass. And as the Apostle Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's how great it's going to be. We have a good God. We have a sovereign God. We have an eternal God. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. So that's what some of the things that prophecy reveals about the Lord. We'll leave it there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are easy to worship because you are such a good God to us. Forgive us when we focus on the negatives. When we want to live in heaven now, help us to live according to knowledge with that expectation of greater things to come and trust you for them and thank you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.